You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 15th, 2022, President Biden to travel to Europe next week for a NATO summit on the war in Ukraine. He'll be traveling to Brussels, and the summit will convene March 24. The Russian ambassador to the UN is saying, here's when we will stop the invasion of Ukraine. Hear this, he said. We will stop once all of our demands are met. we understand that. In the meantime, the U.S. has information suggesting China has expressed some openness to providing Russia with requested military and financial assistance as part of the war on Ukraine. It's not clear yet what China intends to provide Russia or when. But apparently Intel says they are going to. We've been talking about that in the last segment. If you missed it, please go back and hear that podcast, especially the interview with Gordon G. Chang, a Chinese expert, because he raises a question. If China is going to be allowed to help Russia, why are we not allowed to help Ukraine without an escalation? But the Pentagon is warning China, hey, stop right there. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do anything to help Russia, there will be, well, let me correct that. He doesn't say there will be. He says there will likely be consequences for China. Bring out the wet noodle. Putin has signed a law enabling Russia to seize any foreign aircraft as sanctions hit his country's aviation industry. Zelensky thanks the Russians for helping supply his army. He said, many of your soldiers are abandoning their equipment. We're glad to have it. They are the best arms supplier for our country at this point. Ukrainian presidential advisor said a technical pause has taken place between a fourth round of talks between Ukraine and Russia. Now, the Ukrainian president Zelensky also said, I know my country does not have an open door to NATO membership. And if we cannot enter through open doors, then we must cooperate with associations, which we can, which will help us, protect us, and simply have separate guarantees. Meanwhile, hundreds of Taiwanese protesters on the streets of Taipei showing they are in solidarity with Ukraine against the Russian invasion. And you certainly understand why. Iranian authorities are saying they arrested several operatives linked to Israel who attempted to sabotage an Iranian nuclear facility. They've had numerous explosions and fires at some of their facilities. Many of us have suspected it's got to be the Mossad. No proof, no thumbprints, but come on. Israel does not want Iran to have nuclear capabilities, despite the effort of Joe Biden to go back and reignite what Obama put into motion. Now, sometimes reality comes around and bites you in the arse, does it not? So White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says, stop talking about us possibly cutting a deal to import oil from socialist Venezuela. See, Biden had sent a delegation to visit the socialist dictator, even though he's not recognized by our nation as being the president of Venezuela, to see if we could get some oil from them. Any money we pay Venezuela ends up in communist hands, which in turn ends up in Russia's hands, right? You know that. Well, now they're changing their mind. Why? Politics. a dramatic collapse in support to Democrats from Hispanic Americans because they don't like Venezuela. By the way, Black Lives Matter now saying that Jussie Smollett should be released from jail, and Smollett saying I should be released because of COVID. Now I'm thinking, well, maybe COVID made him stupid. Maybe he should come out. Oh, and then don't forget, Kaepernick is still in play. I know Brady. I know the Brady story, but this is bigger. Kaepernick is now practicing with Seattle. He's saying, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. He has said that every year. Anyone want to lay odds on Kaepernick being picked up by anyone? Anyone?
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Russians are bringing to bear about 65%, 60-65% of their entire conventional forces are now inside the country of Ukraine after 20 years of massive increases in defense spending. I think you're seeing a couple things. Bad planning, no doubt about it. I think you're also seeing that some of the Russian equipment isn't as good as advertised. But the last thing you're seeing, and probably the most important, is that will to fight. And that's not something that's easily measured. You know, you can't either. I don't think Putin or the Russian military thought that Ukrainians would fight the way they have right now. And they're playing defense. They're in a defensive position, which has allowed them, for example, for weeks to build up defenses around Kyiv. So I don't think the Russians are going to be able to go in and take any of these cities. They may be able to level them, like you were just saying, but take them, that's going to be a tough task, especially Kyiv.
Especially Kyiv. The words of Senator Marco Rubio, Florida, Republican. Yeah, I think clearly the intent and belief of Putin has diminished considerably. And in fact, look at our own intel. The words of General Milley before the invasion began. He said, I have no doubt they'll probably have control of Kyiv within 72 hours. We are now approaching 2 weeks. I'm looking at a piece written by Politico I want to share with you. The headline and subheadline say everything. The opening headline, either we win or we die. And then points out an unlikely army of beauticians, engineers, and teachers mobilize against the Russian invasion. Deals with the story of a 36-year-old mother, too, helping transport medicine, food, water, household goods, other supplies across the border to Ukraine. She said, 2 weeks ago, my biggest problem was whether a coach bag I ordered online was going to arrive in time. Now I run a humanitarian hub supplying various areas. And our group could outdo any logistics company in the world. If someone tells me they need 300 air mattresses, I can find them in 5 minutes. So it's not just the actual battling of the Russian troops, but doing everything you can to support those who are trying to stay and fight and have family that cannot be moved because of health issues or just don't want to go. As I mentioned in news and commentary also in the last hour, Prime Minister Zelensky has said, "We thank the Russian soldiers for being such a great assistance." What does he mean? He said, "We note the enemy is confused. The soldiers know this. Their officers are aware of this. They flee the battleground. They abandon equipment." Unfortunately, it sounds like what we were ordered to do, not that our troops would have done it otherwise, but ordered to do when it came to Biden shutting down our activity in Afghanistan by a certain date, come hell or high water, and both hell and high water came, and we still have Americans trapped behind lines in Afghanistan, and many Afghans we promised, we swore to them would help get them out, may or may not be alive, but they're not out. But Zelensky said, "We take all these trophies these soldiers abandon, and then we use them to protect Ukraine." He said, "Today, Russian troops are, in fact, one of the suppliers of equipment to our army. They could not imagine such a thing in a nightmare." And then he urged the Russian soldiers to, "You need to consider to surrender. You want to survive." He said, "You're not going to take anything from Ukraine. You'll take lives. There are a lot of you. But your life will also be taken. But why should you die? What for? I know you want to survive. Therefore, I offer you a choice. On behalf of the Ukrainian people, I give you a chance to survive." Keep in mind, most of these in the Russian forces that were first moving in were conscripts, 200,000 plus. They're not regular military. They've just been drafted in. "You have to serve? I don't know, you have to serve." Okay. And some of them admitted that they thought they were supposed to just play war games. They did not know this was going to be a real war. But then on top of that, at the time, they had their officers echoing Putin's words, "This will be easy." John Daniel Davidson, senior editor with The Federalist, we have on as a guest several times, was on with Megyn Kelly last night, and he was discussing that very point of what Putin expected versus reality.
I think a lot of the Russian tactical assumptions were that the Ukrainian state wasn't really robust. It wasn't really real, in a sense, and that it would evaporate as soon as Russian forces crossed the border. And I think that's something that Putin was sort of banking on. It hasn't happened. Not only has the state not evaporated, but the Russian or the Ukrainian armed forces have proven a lot more capable and a lot tougher of an opponent than I think Moscow thought they would be.
I think he's exactly right. I know he's right. You've got men, women, and there are probably some children, if they're old enough to hold a rifle, they still want to stay there and fight. Ukrainian people locked in a desperate struggle. Desperate struggle. And the Biden White House is just kind of dilly-dallying around. John Daniel Davidson, again of The Federalist, senior editor, said, "You know, we should have been tougher with Putin from the beginning. We should have done, but we didn't."
we can be tough with Putin, and we could have been tough with Putin about this and said, look, you'll get Crimea and maybe you'll get these like these areas in eastern Ukraine as well. Mm-hmm. And in exchange for that, you relinquish any claim to, you know, sort of, you know, have influence over Ukraine or keep Ukraine in your orbit, and they are free to go their way. The outlines of a settlement, you can see if anyone in the West had taken that seriously, and had anyone had taken seriously.
If they had taken it seriously, but they didn't. That's why I say I cannot understand. And I'm sure there's some military leaders that have the same question. And I'm going to get a chance to ask one who can give you an idea of the military mind a little bit later in this hour, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, U.S. Marines retired, now with the Heritage Foundation, about opportunities that were there and things we could see building, and we basically did not do a damn thing. Oh, we said we were sending some equipment in, and we did some. But some of it didn't even begin to arrive until after the invasion started. And we were watching for weeks Russia build up in Belarus, move ships into the Black Sea, and we didn't fly our fighter jets in and turn them over to Ukrainians at that point and then get out so we don't have boots on the ground. And you can't blame us for saying that we suddenly brought them in to help. They're already there. But, of course, if we're going to allow China to provide weapons and other items, then why shouldn't we be able to do that? Why shouldn't we go ahead and enforce a no-fly zone? Look, I'm not wanting to escalate this. Make no mistake. I don't want to escalate it. But Biden is basically restricted in so many ways, and Putin is just simply enjoying every bit of it. He's not winning with anyone but Biden. When Russia built up the forces at the Ukrainian border, Biden gave Putin a glitzy summit, increasing his stature, and got nothing in return. Nothing! On the eve of the war, Biden admitted a limited incursion. It might divide NATO, could go unpunished. In other words, the door is open, the window's unlocked, halfway up. That would be a limited incursion, and we'll just kind of let it be. And then once Putin invited, Biden had to be dragged into shutting off Russian oil and gas to the U.S. and enforcing real sanctions. And then he does it step by step as if he's walking through a minefield. I understand the desperation. I understand the concern, and the wrong step could be really disastrous. And, of course, Putin continues to make nuclear threats. So Biden even caved by canceling a routine missile test, even though we told the Russians about that months ago. And he has even refused to give Ukrainians real-time intel about the Russian invasion force, fearing that that would be an escalation. But we let the Chinese do what they're doing right now? And Biden is again playing to the drum of the progressives. Now, I cannot enforce to you strongly enough, I do not want a nuclear war. I don't want U.S. boots on the ground, but there were things we could have and should have done. Tomorrow, Zelensky of Ukraine will be giving an address via cable to members of our Congress, to all of our Congress, I believe, the House and the Senate, both. Well, the House controlled by Democrats, the Senate 50-50. And former U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill says, I hope Zelensky does this.
I think Zelensky not only needs to emotionally capture how important our support is and how he's depending on our military, as was referenced in the Pentagon briefing today, to get these munitions to them very, very quickly. No question that Russia has to be struggling with a munition stockpile now, and clearly Ukraine needs the billions of dollars that we have now passed in military support for their efforts, particularly those specific weapons programs that can take out the kind of missiles that are indiscriminately tanks and missiles that are bombing these civilian targets.
So he might. Well, let's see what he does. But the bottom line is, what will the Biden administration do about it? Based on history, they might talk the game, but they're not going to play it. You know why we have nuclear missiles? Not really to use them. But while every time Putin says, we have nuclear missiles, Biden should be in his face saying, and so do we. Is that the next step? Is that what you want? Now, if Biden's, according to those who know him and have been around him in the past and more recent, say he seems to be changed somewhat, I don't know if he's going through something what we're watching with Biden. I don't know. If so, that's dangerous. There's no doubt about it. But did we ever have to come to this situation with the dead, the injured, the maimed in Ukraine? No, we had some opportunities. Coming up.
Well, I got my first truck when I was three. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
By entering into a negotiation, a serious negotiation process, long before we got to this point, there may have been an outline of a settlement where Ukraine got political independence and it was free to turn toward Europe and to make trade deals with the EU. But it sacrificed some of its territory to do that.
Those are the words of John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. We often have him on the air with us direct. But that's a clip he was doing in an interview last night with Megyn Kelly. And he was pointing out that we might have been able to have an outline of a settlement and had a serious negotiation process before we got to the point we are now. But we didn't. We were trying to play it, what, coy? Is that the way you might describe it? See, on the Russian side, Putin had said Russia is putting down a red line to prevent Ukraine from joining NATO. Not going to allow it. But the U.S., Biden, and NATO allies would not clarify their stance on letting Ukraine join NATO. Although it's clearly not on their agenda. It was not on their agenda. Not on the agenda. While Putin is amassing troops north of Ukraine and Belarus, and on Feb 24 says, go. And the UN, or rather the NATO membership, according to the NATO secretary, was never imminent. Been clear for a long time, membership was not something that was imminent, not something relevant in the near future. Yet at the same time, they were trying to act loose shy and say, well, you know, we might do what we might want to do. And apparently all they had to do is say, it's not even on the agenda. And of course, now we're in this midst, and every day there's a chance that things could escalate without intent. Give you a perfect example. The NATO secretary is pointing out There's an increased possibility of an accidental military strike by Russians in a neighboring NATO nation, one of them being Poland, right there. But there's been some things that have happened since that time as well. An armed Soviet drone crashed outside the capital Zagreb in Croatia after flying over Romania and Hungary. So NATO's general says we're increasing capabilities to monitor, track, and react if necessary. When we see more military activities, when we see actual fighting going close to NATO borders, there's a risk for incidents and accidents. Yes, there is. The fog of war happens so fast. And just the other day, Russian fighters sent more than a dozen missiles into the targets just 12 miles from the Polish border. Somebody enter a wrong GPS setting, and those missiles end up in Poland. And by Article 5, the U.S. has to be directly involved then in defending Poland. Oh, then claim it's an accident. Back off, back off. Maybe that'll buy some time. Coming up, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, expert on military. I want to get his take on the Russian machinery against the Ukraine citizens and opportunities missed to avoid getting to where we are now, and how to avoid a tragedy becoming disaster.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guest, we've had on numerous times before, always glad to have him, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, Heritage Military Expert, USMC retired. Semper Fi, sir.
And Semper Fi to you. Thanks so much. The Marine Corps is just a great tribe. Happy to share what we're able to talk about here.
Yeah. Well, I'm very interested in your take at this point, the so-called Russian war machinery that was going to basically be inside Kyiv within 72 hours, still stalling out. And Zelensky is now saying Russians are abandoning their equipment. They are now our biggest arms supplier. Your take.
Yeah, well, I think propaganda is used on both sides to buttress the morale of your own people and send a message to the world to gain their support and all. Russia would reject those statements you just made. But I think Zelensky is got photographic and video proof of the devastation caused by ambushes and all. Clearly, this is an indictment of Russian military leadership and the assumptions that they made going in, that they would just roll across the border with a heavy armored force and Ukraine would be prostrate before their feet. And so clearly the Ukrainians are putting up just an incredible, inspiring sort of battle, and it shows what can be done if a people has the will to step forward and protect, their homes and their families and their livelihoods. So it should really be an encouraging thing for the United States and for others that if you get your act together militarily, that you can really chart your own destiny. But so, I think the days ahead are going to continue to be very, very ugly.
So Zelensky also said that we know most of you soldiers, you don't want to be here. You don't want to fight. You might kill us, but that's all you're going to get. You're not going to take our country, and you might end up dying too. So I'll give you a chance to live. Just walk away. In other words, basically come to our side or go AWOL. Do you think that message is being reflected in some of the troops? Apparently equipment has been abandoned at various places.
Yeah, I do think it's being reflected, but I don't think they're leaving the battlefield because Zelensky said that, right? I mean, you know, you had Tokyo Rose in World War II and, you know, folks coming out. So I think he is making a statement that is matched by reality, but it's not driving reality. So, but that doesn't discount the message that he's sending out there. And the fact that is the many years that Russia tried to modernize and professionalize its military, it does still have to depend on conscripts. It did start a war for which it had no rationale whatsoever. You know, so you're a tank commander. What are we doing in Ukraine? You know, why are we invading our neighbors and destroying civilian apartment buildings and all that stuff? And so it's hard for troops to keep morale up and the will to fight if they don't see any purpose. You know, it's not like Ukraine was poised to invade Russia, right? And so I think that the longer this thing goes on, clearly the hurt and the devastation will be in Ukraine, but it actually starts to play in Ukraine's favor in terms of resolving this as Ukraine would like to see, and that's Russia getting out of town.
Well, that is one of the points I was raising in the preceding segment, that Putin had said basically with a red line that we want to prevent Ukraine from joining NATO. And the NATO allies were shy about declaring their stance. They just didn't declare anything until just last Friday. The NATO Secretary General said the NATO membership of Ukraine was never imminent. They invaded Feb 24. And he just said this the other day, did we miss an opportunity? I read a piece in John Daniel Davidson, The Federalist, with Megyn Kelly last night saying, we had an opportunity for a serious negotiation, and we didn't do it.
Right. Well, words matter, and people listen to the words that you're saying. So if you keep dangling something out there, you know, a path to NATO membership for countries like Georgia and Ukraine, well, if you didn't really mean that, that can have downstream consequences. You know, if you're Vladimir Putin in Moscow, you're going to take that seriously. You know, that if you view this as Russian heartland and the agricultural fields and industrial capacity that it rightly belongs to a great czarist Russia, which is what Putin is trying to recreate, then this idea that you're going to lose that, the membership in NATO, and it'll forever be out of your reach because of Article 5 protections and all that stuff, you're going to act on those statements. So it wasn't very smart of NATO officials to keep dangling and promising and, you know, enticing Ukraine to join up. But Zelensky himself now has said, look, we realize that NATO membership is out of reach. It isn't going to happen. But we're going to fight for our own homeland, and all you other countries in Europe need to be helping this because of the danger that Russia presents to everybody.
So I think
politicians, officials need to be very careful about what they're saying.
You're listening to retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood of the Heritage Foundation. To that extent, the fog of war, we had apparently a Russian drone fly over parts of Hungary and ended up in Croatia. Mm-hmm. And we had yesterday or the day before dozens of missiles hitting a target just 12 miles east of the Polish border. One missed GPS statement. It could put them into Poland. Then what happens?
Yeah, it's another reality of warfare, that once the trigger's been pulled the first time, you have no way to predict how that war is going to unfold. You know, limited in scope and time, or expansive, you know, all of Europe in flame. World War One is a great example of that, right? So when people start agitating for military action, they just don't understand what they're asking for. And this, you know, the fog, the uncertainty of war, what is intent, what are long-term plans, what are objectives, the friction of war, you know, the broken ox cart, you know, on some kind of a trailer that blocks passage on a bridge, or an errant missile or a UAV. So all these things can lead to misinterpretations of what might happen and cause people to behave in ways that further exacerbate or worsen, you know, the conditions of the conflict. So this strike, the missile strike into that base you're talking about right near Polish border, that was conducted by an airplane flying over Russian territory with those long-range missiles streaking across Ukraine to hit this thing. So when we have these discussions about no-fly zones, how would you shoot down Russian airplanes over Russian, you know, territory? So it's, you know, again, once you pull a trigger or fire an artillery round, you have no idea where this is going to go. And this will damage not just Ukraine, but Russia itself for a generation or two. you know, the problems that they will have economically and their own people for 20 or 30 years.
So the response from the State Department has been that if China is going to step in and help Russia and provide them assistance, and the words were very vague as to what we might do. And I understand, I don't want to lay out all details, but this mealy-mouth approach on things, to me, does not stand firm in the face of Putin and his thugs. And I had a guest previously, I'm sure you're familiar with him, Gordon G. Chang, a China expert. He said over the weekend in a tweet, he said, if China can help Russia and that's not considered escalation, why cannot we help Ukraine?
So China supporting Russia, whether it's buying oil from them or coal, which puts money into Russians' coffers, is different than China putting a battalion or flying airplanes over Ukrainian airspace. So if the United States or NATO did that military option, you could see a larger conflict on the European continent that China can just set off to the side and watch its two rivals, Russia and the United States, just batter each other silly, right? So Russia, I mean, China has more options. Both China and Russia are completely exploitational and opportunistic. So to the extent that Europe and the United States gets embroiled in this conflict with Russia, China comes out the winner, right? So, again, they leverage ambiguity. They will take advantage of opportunities provided them by the United States when we're not strong and confident and clearly stating what's, you know, acceptable and not acceptable. And so this administration has just gotten us into this mess. And countries like China and Russia look at the Afghanistan withdrawal.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, I think they all look at that. And I don't want boots on the ground. I don't think you do either. Is that correct?
That is.
Yeah.
Giving all, right, them now, all the weapons, yeah, and missiles and ammo possible.
But, that brings me to the other issue. We watched for months for them building up along Belarus, and they were telling us they were just playing war games. Why didn't we go ahead and fly their fighter jets into Ukraine then, turn it over to them before Feb 24, the date of the invasion, and then we're out of there before that happens, and they have better. We just started sending some of the jabs and some of the other equipment late in the game, and I'm not sure how many are actually there yet.
Yeah, tepid political responses, weak-kneed reactions, always reacting to what Putin was doing, not trying to seize the initiative and setting conditions ourselves, right? So it's just been a weak hand played by the Biden administration, who thinks that somebody like Vladimir Putin can discuss things over, you know, hot cups of tea and croissants in a Parisian salon. I mean, that's not the way the rest of the world works. You know, this is an example where warfare isn't zeros and ones capturing cities, right? Or space-based sensors. This is artillery and tanks and things that blow stuff up. And this administration has just flat forgotten that. You know, they're thinking that big countries don't go to war with each other, and clearly they do.
I want to thank you, as always, sir, for your time and your expertise. Always glad to have you on board, sir.
God bless. Thank you.
You bet. God bless. Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Coming up, what if we gave you an opportunity to have a motivational poster in front of your face every day? Would that make you smile and be happy? Wait till you hear this one. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So Joe Biden promises executive action on climate change, even as the energy costs continue to spike. Yep, still pushing that green pie in the sky. Let them buy electric cars. Not going to release any new oil leases. And the UK energy bills rising 14 times faster than wages amid the green push in the UK. sanctions and war. And the producer prices in the U.S. rising 10% for the second straight month. There's a cost for this. And it's seen partly today, as Jen Psaki says, no more talk about us getting any oil from Venezuela. That's right. That's right. We were going to import oil from Venezuela, from a dictator we don't even recognize as being the leader of the country. Well, that caused a lot of the Spanish Hispanic people to get upset. That cost Democrat votes. And the current Biden inflation is also, according to a poll, showing not only Hispanic but black voters gravitating closer to GOP because of Biden inflation. And what's he doing? Well, he's flying over for a summit in Brussels next week. Still insists things are good. They have no plans to open up drilling lands and the federal leases. The oil companies say they are trying to make it look like we won't drill. We will, but you got to remove restrictions, and then you got to make sure that you're not going to interfere. Let us do our job. Don't over-control. And the battleground states apparently are among the hardest hit by inflation. Again, that's not going to help come November. A lot of Democrats are absolutely lost. I told you yesterday, the Democrat caucus committee chairman that oversees the money goes to these various campaigns for November last week in Pennsylvania over the weekend, and their retreat said the problem is us. Yeah, and all the progressiveness of all of it, the green pie in the sky, and things like the BLM co-founder calling, say, you need to call the jail, demand they free Jussie Smollett. Oh, yeah, that's going to win a lot of folks. We need to defund more police. Yeah, that's going to help. We're willing to live with $8.20 a gallon gasoline. We're willing to just throw jobs aside if we could get closer to being totally green. How about being totally prehistoric? Oh, but let's look for a brighter life. And here it comes from Kamala Harris, Vice President. Motivational posters. She's thinking about motivational posters because these are things you can put on Twitter to show how much you admire strong women, love paying more money for gas and groceries, according to the Federalist writer of this. And there's a poster of Kamala standing there and statement beside her. We could put it up on a billboard or put it on a magnet to go on your refrigerator. Take off that Let's Go Brandon fridge mag and put her up saying it's time for us to do what we've been doing. That scares the hell out of me. It's time for us to do what we've been doing, and that time is every day. Oh, you don't like that motivational poster? Okay, how about, let me see, what else can we find? We have the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been and then to make the possible actually happen. Isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? That's almost like imagine. Oh, and then here's another one. We must together. And there's not a verb missing. It just says that. We must together. Then adds work together, period, to see where we're headed. I'm sorry, to see where we are, period. Where we are headed, period. Where we are going and our vision for where we should be, but also see it as a moment to, yes, together, address the challenges and work on the opportunities presented by this moment. How does that fit with me getting a lower gasoline price? Don't know. Then Kamala also apparently has this poster. What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. Oh, and then, of course, if you need help understanding the Ukrainian issue, let's put this poster in place. Using her own words, Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong. Let me tell you something. All of that is wrong. And as she also said, you voted for Biden, you got what you voted for. Yes, you did. Hey, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.